Go Loud.
Freak accident leads to a King Andrew. What new data was he in possession of on the morning after the presidential election, which they got fuck all votes?
The housing crisis really comes for us all, doesn't it? Imagine being affected by your own brother. Hello, everybody, and welcome to A Few Scoops. We are a weekly comedy news podcast that keeps you informed and tries to keep you laughing. My name is Aoife Muir. I'm an author and journalist, most importantly from Derry. And my co-host is the esteemed author, sold out author this week, Cork's Colm O'Regan.
Yes, I grab onto those little moments of my book being sold out of one bookshop.
This week, we have a horrific attack on an IPAS centre just days after Simon Harris went off about immigration, a genocide in Sudan, a confidence motion in the DUP education minister in the north after an IDF-funded trip to Israel. Sister Stan has died, the woman who changed the face of charity in Dublin, and the royal family said goodbye to Prince Andrew. It was announced last week that King Charles will finally strip his brother Prince Andrew Mountbatten of his prince title, and he will be forced to leave Windsor Mansion, the Royal Lodge in which he lived. Buckingham Palace announced the move last week. The King said he had initiated a formal process to remove the titles, and Andrew will now be known as Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. He is 65, and this is an ongoing, drawn-out scandal about his links to the now-deceased, as they say, paedophile financier Jeffrey Epstein.
A lot of people, you think he's still alive?
I think he's still alive. Yeah. I'm not doubting the paedophilia. Sorry. Yeah, he's still alive. A lot of people think he is still alive. Who knows? Yeah. Anyway, so
some
this
people
is
just want to hold on to that hope. Don't they?
So Prince Andrew has faced numerous ongoing questions about his links and friendship with the paedophile. It emerged that the two men exchanged numerous emails after Epstein's first conviction. And we now know, obviously, the horrific interview he did with Emily Maitlis, in which he said that he did not sweat because of a condition that he received while serving in the Falklands. And now Buckingham Palace says, oh, the also thing that is different is Virginia Giuffre, who said that she had sex with Prince Andrew when she was 17, which technically, and I've seen a lot of argument about this, technically having sex with a 17-year-old is legal. However, it is not legal to have sex with someone who has been trafficked for sex, and she claimed that she was trafficked by Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein for the purposes of sex. And she wrote extensively about the sex that she had with Andrew in her now published memoir that was published after her death, because you can't be sued for defamation after your death. He also paid off Virginia Giuffre. There was a massive, I think it was £12 million settlement that he gave to her, although he did not admit any liability. He said that he did not remember meeting her, even though they were photographed together. So last week, Buckingham Palace said His Majesty has today initiated a formal process to remove the style, titles and honours of Prince Andrew. I'm assuming style means something else.
Yeah,
in the royal
lost
family.
His style a long time ago. Yeah.
He will now be known as Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, and his lease on the Royal Lodge to date provided him with legal protection to continue in his residence. Formal notice has now been served to surrender the lease. The housing crisis really comes for us all, doesn't it? Imagine being evicted by your own brother.
The great leveller, the grade 2 listed house in, is that the one? It's in Windsor Great Park, is that right?
Yeah.
3 stories, 2-story wings, 30 rooms, including 7 bedrooms. So I would say modest enough.
And his ex-wife, Sarah Ferguson, also lived there, even though they've been divorced for years. But she has been living in taxpayer-funded accommodation, despite the fact they've been divorced for a number of years.
isn't it very sustainable of them to try and make a go of it for the sake of the adult children?
It's almost as if they're total scroungers.
I feel a bit grubby about the book by Sarah Ferguson, which is in our house.
Why do you have
Granny, about a little girl who is being a bit naughty but then gets dressed up and is a good girl to go for tea with her granny, who turns out to be the queen. Who knew?
Not a book we would have been allowed to have in our house. So...
Just in case she stopped by and she said, was that my book?
Yeah. So yeah, don't feel any sympathy for Sarah Ferguson. She also had emailed Jeffrey Epstein after his conviction for trafficking and said that she, you know, was a great friend of his along with Prince Andrew, who said the words, "We're in this together.
Nothing but snakes on here, hon."
DM me, hon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it is a huge scandal within the royal family. I've watched a lot of Vox pops this week of different news outlets asking people around England what they make of it. And the general gist seems to be, from the most part, is they have done the right thing by removing him. Although I did see, it's always men. I seen a few men being like, "Oh, well, you know, I feel like he's being harassed by the media and I really worry about him." It's like, well, now I feel like I need to check your hard drive too. So
that was a man there voiced. In revenge for years of Sinn Féin being voiced by actors, we have a British man being voiced by Aoife, equally convincingly, I would say.
Yeah, just worried about him, yeah. Yeah, so should have happened a long time ago. I think it's also worth noting that the press and the attitude towards Prince Andrew has not been anywhere near as bad as how Meghan Markle was treated for the very crime of being kind of annoying and black.
Yeah.
Like, and that's all she did, apparently.
She's very pushy, though, wasn't she? I just don't think she knew how these things work. Mm. And I think that might have been, you know, Kate, is that her name? The other one?
Yeah, Kate.
She knows how things work. So
yeah. Also, his daughters, Beatrice, 37, and Eugenie, 35, there is no formal change. They will continue to be princesses because they are daughters of the son of a sovereign, in line with King George V's letters patent of 1917. So there you are. I know people were worried about Eugenie and Beatrice, so it's good to clear that up.
In the same way that when there's a big resignation in RT, everybody down the line wonders, how does this affect my possibility of getting a big gig? Yeah. What does this do to the line to the throne? Does it make any difference, or was he ever in line to the throne?
Andrew remains 8th in line to the throne despite losing his titles, followed by Beatrice and Eugenie in 9th and 12th place.
Freak accident leads to a King Andrew.
Imagine. We are headed north for this story where the Education Minister, DUP MLA Paul Given, is facing a vote of no confidence that is now backed by PBP, who tabled the motion, Sinn Féin, the SDLP and Alliance. Paul Given travelled on a trip to Israel and the occupied territories paid for by Israel on basically what was a propaganda trip. There, he visited a school in the occupied territories, and this came after a week before where he thanked the brave actions of the IDF in Israel. Jerry Carroll from PVP has tabled this motion. They say, although it was funded by Israel and therefore not funded by the department, he tweeted and made a number of social media posts from the official Department of Education account. So it'll be next week before the vote can take place, but these types of votes require cross-community support and the UUP won't back it, and the DUP are obviously going to back their own man.
And people mightn't understand or be aware of, in the Northern Assembly, you can lose the confidence of the majority of the reps. But if your own party backs you, you get to stay in.
No, it's not your own party. It has to be cross-community.
Cross-community.
So every party is designated nationalist or unionist.
Yeah.
So it has to be cross-community. So one of the unionist parties will have to back the motion as well.
Is there any utter woke nonsense unionist parties that would back
this? Well, UUP are seen as a more sensible unionist party. They're a lot more conciliatory. They do a lot more cross-community stuff. You know, Robin Swan was the health minister during COVID. People really liked him.
He's the fella that Van Morrison famously condemned from the stage.
Because he believed in COVID.
What did he say again?
He was a very dangerous man.
And he got everybody just chanting
it.
And when I say everybody, I mean Van Morrison and
Ian Paisley Jr.
Yeah. Oh, God. Good old days.
So the reason the UUP haven't backed it is because the other people who went on the six-day trip to Israel include DUP MP Sammy Wilson, Steve Aitken from the UUP, and TUV councillor Ron McDowell. You don't need to know anything about them. But during the trip, they received a briefing from Israel's foreign ministry. They visited a Holocaust memorial, met victims of Hamas, and toured Ofik School in Jerusalem.
Did they meet anyone who had been bombed from the air or fired at point blank range from a tank?
They did
by
not.
The IDF?
They did not.
Okay.
So
it's not exactly an ecumenical cross-party.
It was a propaganda trip funded by Israel. So there was, I've seen a lot of clips of this on TikTok, but there was big arguments about this in Stormont during the week. So Pat Sheehan from Sinn Féin said, "Why can't this minister accept the truth rather than continue to peddle the propaganda of a genocidal regime?" And then in response, Given said that Sheehan had met with Hamas himself. So don't give me the crocodile tears when you're pictured with and support Hamas terrorists. So Jerry Carroll from People Flow Profit, who has tabled the motion, he said that there is widespread opposition to the recent trip. He said it was political from start, middle and end, because the argument from the DUP was this was not a political trip.
It's just schools.
And they have also pointed out there are basically no schools left in Gaza because Israel have wiped them all out. So the response from teachers, which I think is the kind of most important one, is the Northern Ireland Teachers Council said the department should be political neutral and called for the promotion of the visit to be removed from all its sites. And then there was a rally outside Belfast City Hall on Saturday attended by teachers, Gaza Solidarity, community groups and some politicians.
Can I ask a question about, you know, in the north, it splits often along lines. So Republican Nationalist will back Palestinian, ANC, various, maybe sometimes left-wing or not, but maybe people who call themselves freedom fighters in various places. And then on the unionist or loyalist side, is it just because it's opposite, or what are the ties between?
I think, well, this is my own kind of feeling from it, but Palestinian resistance and the Palestinian cause has always been massive with Irish people, especially people in the north, because it was the same soldiers, you know, the black and tans then went to Palestine.
Yeah, they got big at home first and then went on a tour.
Yeah, and there has always been that Palestinian solidarity, especially in the north, because of, you know, the same soldiers and the victims of colonization. And then the unionist community, then obviously a lot of their grandfathers and fathers would have been in the British Army and they would have taken up that mantle then as Israel. And then they also feel like as victims of paramilitary violence, they can relate to what Israel says they are going through as well.
So, okay, so those are the parallels.
I spoke to Omar Barghouti, who founded the BDS campaign, and he said the only place he's ever seen more Israel and Palestine flags than Palestine is Northern Ireland.
Yeah. And it's like, it's amazing because probably, you know, if you're right wing in the north, anti-Semitism would be your closest kind of thing to leap on, but not in this case.
No, the DUP, there's around 2,000 Jewish people in the north. The actual president of Israel was born in Belfast. Herzog was born in Belfast. His father owned a mill. But there's around 2,000 Jewish people, and traditionally they would have been DUP voters, and the DUP would have really looked out for them. They seem very keen to keep those voters. They often will talk about anti-Semitism in Stormont. I think most of that is kind of fading away now. Anyway, the vote is next week. We will do a follow-up if anything mad happens, but it's not likely that Paul Given is going to lose his job because the motion cannot get a dollar unionist party to back them.
Will he be wounded, like, when you lose confidence?
No. The DUP have a long history of, you know, digging their heels in and sticking it out. He's not going anywhere. But it does also just really, like, to me, belie this. I can understand from some point of view, you know, they have an alliance with Israel, but if you're the education minister, I find it, there can be no other reason that he went to Israel and went on that trip other than to annoy
Demons.
Yeah. And I think he can say all he wants about how that wasn't the reason, but I don't believe him. And I think most people wouldn't. I think even his own voters wouldn't believe him.
Thank you for that tour of 100 years
of Jewish history in the north. Next, we are going to speak about the genocide ongoing in Sudan. So I think everyone will have heard like bits and pieces, and we often hear it talked about in the same breath as Gaza, but it's not given the same amount of attention. That's for numerous reasons. So I'm going to give a really quick whistle-stop explainer about what's happening in Sudan, and we can talk about it a bit more after that. Sudan is in the wake of a civil war. And in that wake, now two warring factions have sprung up. So there is the Sudanese army and a paramilitary group called the RSF, the Rapid Support Forces. In March, Sudan took the UAE to the International Criminal Court because they say that Dubai is funding a genocide in Sudan because they are funneling money to the RSF. Dubai is one of the biggest gold holders in the world, despite having no gold mines themselves.
Yeah.
They get their gold from a myriad of places, but one of the main places is Sudan. And the Sudanese government believe that Dubai is funding the RSF to get that gold. There has been reports of mass killings, mass rape. One of the most recent things I read is that in one maternity hospital alone, 500 people, patients and their families, were killed. There has been tales of summary execution of civilians, torture, and the people that are left surviving on nothing more than animal feed. A lot of people would have remembered the war in Darfur.
Yeah, 20 years ago, the Janjaweed.
So Darfur is a region in Sudan, and this is basically ongoing issues from that war. So as of right now, millions of people have been displaced. An estimated 150,000 people have been killed, and more than 30 million people now need urgent humanitarian assistance. There has been very little said about this on the international stage. There has been some very watery statements put out by the G7, and I am quite certain the reason we haven't heard as much about this as we had about Israel is because no one in Ireland really goes on holidays to Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
No one is going to Tel Aviv to become a teacher. However, we are a lot closer to Dubai. Like, my people in my family have lived in Dubai. One of my friends was a teacher in Dubai. It is seen as this very glamorous, and I know there's quite a lot of derogatory things said about it in the kind of sense of that it's corny and it's tacky and it's very, you know, Love Island, the only way is Essex type vibes.
If only that was the problem with
Dubai. But that's not the problem with Dubai, isn't that it's full of people with blue teeth. The problem is that they are funding a genocide and very little has been done about it. And it is all because most wars are because of resources and money. Sudan has the resource and Dubai has the money.
Yeah.
And I don't have Twitter anymore, but my boyfriend does, as a white man is wont to do. And he showed me that if you write Sudan in the Twitter, the videos and the pictures that you will see there are some of the most horrific things you'll ever see. And they're allowed to stay up because Elon Musk doesn't care anymore about what goes on Twitter. But you will see children, women, men being tortured, tied to trees, run over by trucks, like horrendous things. And I don't know if it's, you know, naturally because of that Irish solidarity we have with Gaza. It's because also America was talking about Gaza.
Mm.
You know, the whole world was talking about Israel and Palestine because Israel has big allies. And then the rest of the world went on behind Gaza. But we have not heard anything about Sudan in any way the same level.
Yeah. And it's often used as a stick by arseholes to beat people who were protesting for Gaza. Oh, how come you're not talking about Sudan?
Yeah.
Lots of very good reasons, some of which you mentioned there. First of all, it's like, where do you start? Because a civil war, there's a number of civil wars. There was the one between the North and South, which led to the creation of South Sudan. That was 35 years in the making. And 2005, that got fixed. Darfur, again, Arab militia.
I was at school when Darfur was on.
Yeah, 2003
or so. I remember Ryan Gosling wearing a t-shirt to the Golden Globes that just said Darfur on it. And it was like the edgiest thing in the world at the time.
Yeah. And a lot of Irish aid workers would have been over at that time. And I mean, some of it is that Sudan as a country, if you look at the top three parts of its border, are straight lines in the desert drawn by usual suspects.
The Brits?
You know, yeah, probably the French helped. And Russia are involved with the Wagner group because they want both the resources, they want to destabilize Africa, and also they want a port on the Red Sea because, you know, if you're a nuclear submarine kind of guy, you like to have places to put in. So it's a huge mess. So it's so enormous that it's hard for ordinary people to know where to start. Like, what would you protest, if you know what I mean? But the first thing is to inform ourselves and also let Sudanese people like amplify their voices.
You know, the other thing we can't get away from is like the reason it's so easy to ignore what's happening in Sudan is because of racism. There is constantly this feeling that they're always fighting over there in Africa, so we don't have to pay attention. It's too complicated to get involved in, which completely negates the fact that the reason there's always conflict in Africa is because of colonialism, which not only causes it, but also usually funds the conflict as well. All the people involved in this are black. And I think that definitely adds to the lack of care and attention given to Sudan. And the thing is, and I wrote about this in my Irish News column as well, I'm not chastising people for not knowing. I think, you know, human beings are not psychologically equipped to bear all the sadness in the world. And I think sometimes, you know, sometimes I just can't look at stuff that happens in Gaza. And I know it's to have the privilege to say, I don't want to look at that. So I'm not chastising people who say, I can't deal with another genocide. I can't look at it. I'm not saying that you have to. But yeah, I just think we could have talked about this 6 months ago. So we're also guilty of this.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just
in
good
fact,
to be
at Electric Picnic after after our talk at Electric Picnic, somebody came up to us saying, you're always on about Gaza. What about Sudan?
Hmm.
But not because they cared about Sudan. But,
no, you know, they were Zionists.
Yeah. Yeah. I gathered that.
And they were so brave that they only said it to Colin.
I fought my corner. Not maybe with the same Derry Elan.
Yeah, I kind of feel like they knew if I had it come near me, it would have been a very different conversation.
I have a different approach.
On Halloween night, someone broke into an IPAS centre in Drogheda in County Louth and started a fire. They allegedly poured petrol on the stairs, which saw 28 people evacuated. Four of them were children. One was a 20-day-old baby and one was a 17-month-old baby. They were taken to hospital for assessment and the other 23 people had to be relocated to alternative accommodation. This happened just days after Simon Harris, the Taoiseach and leader of Fine Gael, rallied against immigration. He said immigration numbers were too high. This happened a day later. Simon Harris did not then release a statement about what happened in Drogheda, but he did have time over the weekend to start a Snapchat account. The Gardaí are now looking at this as an attempted murder, and a nationwide review of security at all IPAS centres is being undertaken. So you can see from the CCTV online that a man, it looks to be a man anyway, wearing work gloves set fire to the stairs. An accelerant was sprayed on the stairs and then set alight, and then the person fled. Early reports downplayed this, and this is what happens when the far right get hold of a narrative. Early reports said that it was fireworks and made out that this could have been an accident. This was then repeated by the Minister of Justice. If anyone is interested, the Journal did a really good deep dive into this about how this was downplayed in the beginning, because when things like this happen, the far right will do anything to avoid blame or any accountability for the rhetoric that they have started.
Yeah, because if you create a mess of news, it means people can't take it all in and therefore they shut off. The goal in all of these things is for people to not care.
Mm-hmm. And the government fell for it, like everything else. And a Nigerian-born Fine Gael representative, Ajiro O'Hare Stratton, who works at Our Lady of Lourdes Hospital in the town, said she visited the asylum seekers that were brought in. She said, the kids that were trapped in the building when they saw me this morning, they said, Auntie, are we still going to celebrate Halloween? I said we had to celebrate Halloween because we are alive. Let us celebrate it. There's an incident room set up in Drogheda to investigate the attack and they're appealing for witnesses. Some lads know who done this.
Yeah.
And if they had any humanity left, they would turn in their mate.
Yeah.
I am repulsed at the lack of reply from Simon Harris, who comments on everything that happens, whether it's here or in America. He commented on Charlie Kirk's assassination, but had nothing to say about Drogheda. I find it very, very convenient that after a massive loss to the establishment, in which we saw numerous spoiled votes in the presidential election, then Fine Gael leader comes out and says immigration is too high. Isn't that so convenient? And now we're at
what new data was he in possession of on the morning after the presidential election, which they got fuck all votes? that suddenly went, oh, now it's too high. Like, and if it's too high, it's too high.
Yeah.
But why wasn't it? Why wasn't it
too high 3 days before Catherine Connolly got elected?
Yeah, on his chummy Instagram
and
account.
This is not me railing against Fianna Gael. Fianna Fáil are always at least with Fianna Fáil and Jim O'Callaghan. He has very set feelings about immigration that he doesn't flip flop on. But Simon Harris, and like, don't get me wrong, Sinn Féin do this all the time as well. Before the last general election, they had about 20 different policies about Ukrainian accommodation. You are never going to be far right enough for the far right. You cannot give these people an inch, because this is what happens, and it is never going to be white people or politicians who pay the price. It is going to be 20-day-old babies in IPAS centres. And the worst thing about it is, these morons say that they care about women and children, and we're just worried about the women and children in Ireland, and they are trying to burn babies to death, but they are not outside the CCJ every week when white men are molesting their daughters or raping girls in taxis. That they're fine with, but it's when brown people dare to live in their area, that's when they are a big brave man. I am revolted. I could cry thinking about this, and I hope they're all arrested.
And for politicians, would you just, before you open your gobs, like, say, just reading about the fireworks and the downplaying. So just the journal article you talked about. So initially, Jim O'Callaghan said, condemned the attack. He said fireworks were thrown into the building. He was told it was a possible cause. Then he was told later in the day that there was evidence, a possibility about the petrol mm-hmm. and the accelerant, and he did not correct that. And this is, no correction has been issued to date by the minister. This is as of Monday at 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, at the bare minimum, you know, just fucking watch what you're saying.
Because who does it benefit? Yeah. The only people it benefits is the far right yeah. and the people who started the fire.
There's no gain for anybody.
If you are as repulsed about this as I am, you can join local groups in your community who advocate for welcoming refugees. They're in every town and village in Ireland, and you can donate clothes, donate food, donate money. It's coming up to Christmas, and there will be a lot of drives on for toys. And
speaking of drives, sometimes they just need stuff to be driven from one place to another. Like, just, can you bring stuff from here to here? It's yeah. very simple stuff.
There's also a lot of pregnant people and young babies. So I know someone who like donated a pram and baby stuff that you're not going to use again. So please, if you want to get involved and you feel very helpless, there are small things that you can do. And in the very off chance that anyone listening to this has anything to do with what happened,
our analytics are not that good. Yeah. But I'd say it would come up as
turn
a
turn yourself yeah. in, you fucking prick.
I mean, he's a suspected prick.
On Monday, Sister Stan Kennedy, a longtime campaigner for the poor, homeless and immigrants, died aged 86. So her full title is Sister Stanislaus. She founded what is now known as Focus Ireland, and that came off the back of research that she had done into the needs of homeless women in Dublin in the 1980s. In 1998, she established The Sanctuary, which was a centre for meditation and spiritual reflection on Stanhope Street in Dublin. She also set up the Immigrant Council of Ireland in 2001, and she was a member of the Religious Sisters of Charity. She died on Monday at St Francis Hospice in Blanche. And anyone who is anyone in Ireland has posted a tribute to Sister Stan. She was originally from the Dingle Peninsula, and she became a sister in 1960. In her early life, she helped develop social services in Kilkenny before she moved to Dublin, and basically completely changing the charitable sector in Dublin for homeless women and immigrants.
And Haughey hated her.
Did he?
Yeah.
Why?
He found her an impossible woman to deal with.
Because she cared about the poor.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I think there was some meeting where she was explaining, this is what we need to do. And he said something like, I don't know, why can't you just do soup kitchens and Meals on Wheels? Him not getting it from literally on his high horse mm-hmm. at his estate in Kinsealy. Yeah, she's the real deal.
Yeah, Focus Ireland said that Sister Stan was a visionary, a tireless advocate and a compassionate force for change, whose legacy will forever shape the heart, soul and values of Focus Ireland. President Michael D. Higgins said Sister Stan was a deeply committed campaigner for the vulnerable and marginalised in our society, a fearless advocate for human rights and equality. Telling the truth of inequality required a woman of immense courage and vision. Yes. Mary Lou said her passing was a huge loss, and Mary McAleese described her as the best of the best. And she had said she had left a lasting legacy as a person of hope and a spine of tempered steel. And then she said, in the face of her criticism of her work, particularly the former Taoiseach Charlie High.
Yeah. And she also probably would have been, you know, you've heard her kind of liberation theology and all that kind of thing, you know, South American idea of the church should be poor and live amongst the poor.
Like in Sister Act.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah, that was what I was just about to say. And she, I think, would have been in that space because she, I think she wrote like a paper or an article quite early on saying the church has loads of money and it's doing nothing with it, which led her to being censored by the Pope.
Oh, get
yeah,
away.
So she was not establishment. Now, she ran a big organization, a very successful organization, but she has a track record of being kind of on the outside and trying to bring change from within an organization once she joined it. Quoting her, I wrote a paper saying the church had resources and it wasn't using them for the poor. Well, all hell broke loose because it was picked up by the media. People were furious. Bishops were furious. I got a letter from Rome. In the end of it, I was silenced. But then I rose up again and started speaking out again.
What a woman. Yeah. Rest in peace, Sister Stan. I hope there's more people like you in the future. Colm, do you want to hit us with your good news this week? It has to be better than last week.
The problem with last week's one, it was
the
just...
First of all, the problem with last week's one was it wasn't that good and you also didn't know how to tell the story.
No, I was just so emotionally attached to the idea of something that converted air into water that I became choked up. So I've changed tack slightly this week. Rather than giving stats on solar power overtaking coal or literacy among young people in the last 30 years, which apparently is at an all-time high. But anyway, the biggest thing I think from last week, it happened just after we recorded last week, Tuesday night last week, an Irish team scored a winning goal in the last minute of a game that mattered. And I realised when I was watching it, that it had been so long, not an equalising goal, not a consolation goal. Yeah. Now, it was a winning goal over the course of the two legs. They still lost that leg 2-1, but it was the goal that mattered. And it was this feeling of like, oh, we've done something amazing in the last minute.
Yeah.
And the first bit of it was a missed kick, but then it was a skillful chip. And it was the Irish women's soccer team. It opens up an easier route towards getting to the World Cup. Doesn't mean they've qualified for the World Cup, but we are looking for breadcrumbs at this stage in Irish football. And this is a big loaf. They'll play next in the elite Division A of the Nations League.
That's like with American England and stuff.
Yes, exactly.
They're like known as the good women's football teams.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So they, I mean, and France. And the last time they were in that league, they got bailed out the door. But it's always good to play against the elite. And it also helps you get to the World Cup. So that's
well
unabashed.
Done the
good
well
news.
Done the Gairns.
And it's just, let's fly the flags. Now we've something to put the fucking flags out for.
Because
there hasn't been a flag waving thing apart from what's been going on
racism
for a while. So, you know, let's get the flags out.
Oh, that's
so that
class
was good.
Well done.
Yeah. And then my obscure story, because there has to be one.
Mm-hmm.
YKK, do you know what that company is?
YKK, no.
YKK makes half, 45% of the world's zips.
Right.
One Japanese company. And I was in Japan once and I saw the YKK factory in the distance.
They
and I looked down at my trousers and it's the same YKK. If you look at the zip on your trousers, there's a strong chance it says YKK. And for the first time in a long time, they are developing a zip that doesn't have the seam. It goes straight onto your coat. So every zip is like if you open your zip, opening zip for sound effect, there's a seam. So it's actually attached to a piece of fabric that is then attached
to
your
material. Yeah.
Well, they've come up with a zip that goes straight onto the material, which should improve and reduce instances of your zip sticking. It's being debuted in like sportswear and that kind of thing. It's the Airy String, it's called. This is big news. It's a new zip.
Right.
Yes.
But how was it? How would it get onto the, without being sewed on, how will it?
Obviously, space age technology.
Yeah,
it's, like, you can't do this at home. Like, this isn't a home sewing thing. But I just thought we have been shamefully delinquent in our zip coverage, apart from you not having your zip up or having to open your zip during because of ill-fitting trousers, was it?
Yeah, I put them in the charity bag.
Who's the one who's found Aoife's trousers in the charity shops? So I think that's big news. It's being debuted in North Face. Yeah, I think zipper news, it's worth noting.
Yeah.
You've got some good news. Unzipped.
as always, every week, we want to hear your good news. You can DM me or Colm on Instagram, or you can send your good news to afewscoops@goloudnow.com. I have two. These are my own two personal ones for my friends. So I am a godmother to a gorgeous little baby called Lachlan. And Lachlan has been fully sleep trained now and is sleeping through the night. So well done to Lachlan and his beautiful mommy Maria, who's my best friend, because she has been very sleep deprived and it's finally coming to an end.
Will Maria get to walk into groups of other mammies and begin sentences with, well, what we did was...
They
is
did
she
that,
prepared to lose friendships?
She almost lost her relationship. They did that thing where, like, you know, you let the baby just cry and cry and cry.
Yeah.
And she was like, I must attend to my child. And Tommy had to stand in front of the door and be like, do not go in. Yeah. Like, they have to learn.
Tommy's military training came to the fore.
Yeah, he's from the west coast of Scotland, so you know, nobody argue with him. But yeah, well done, baby Lachlan, the wee pudding. He's sleeping the whole way. And my other best pal, Ellen, has just... got a new job. So well done to her. Reader good news, or listener good news, we have, hello Aoife and Colm. I've been meaning to write for a while to say how much I've been enjoying the podcast. My good news this week is that I'm leaving London to come back to Dublin with my partner. We have miraculously managed to find accommodation and I'm very excited not to spend more than £7 on mediocre Guinness. I hope they know they're going to have to pay about €8 for decent Guinness. That's very good. You hear more and more about people wanting to leave London and come home. So yeah, very, very happy for them. And as always, please do send us your good news. Colm, have you anything on this weekend? What's your plans?
This weekend is Kilkenomics. I'm down at Kilkenomics in Kilkenny. All weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 8 or 9 shows talking about everything from, oh, I'll need to look it up. There's lots of different things. Mm-hmm. Crypto to how cities can be made better. I'll be chatting to Pascal Donoghue,
ooh,
one of your buddies.
Exciting.
And it's a good weekend for, look, it is talk, but I think it's good quality talk. And it has been going since 2010. Actually, the first one, the IMF had just arrived.
Oh God,
the weekend.
Yeah,
they should have headed down for the crack.
They might have learned something.
Then they wouldn't have been so like, no fun about stuff like reforming things. Oh, boring. So yeah, that's what I'm doing. Oh, thanks for launching my book last week.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah.
We had a great book launch. I got so pissed I forgot my handbag.
Yeah, it didn't seem that bad. I was on the Guinness Zero, a sneaky Guinness Zeros.
Yeah.
Because I had to
wish I had taken that advice.
I had to head to Ballina. Ballina, site of first of the new book, first place, the independent bookshop there. My book sold out there. No, they might have had 5, but it sold out.
Though, yeah, that's great.
So Gallivanting with Words is the name of the book. Not that I would ever sneak that in. Oh, we're going to a sneaky preview of Wild Lights tonight.
What's
in the
Wild
Zoo.
Lights? Oh, yes, very good. Yeah, I am going to the theatre on Friday. I am going to the Project Arts Centre to see a play by the Broken Talkers about psychosis.
Okay.
Mm, yeah.
Broken Talkers, they had that play with Willie White as well, didn't they?
Yeah. So, I'm going to see that on Friday. I've been very kindly offered a ticket, so I'm going to go see that on Friday.
Very good. After a week of wading through the morass of bad news, you're going to go for some psychosis then on the Friday.
Yeah, that's me. I also need to get a mouth guard. I'm clenching my jaw again and it's really sore. It's just stress, but anyway.
Yeah. Did you know that dentists in America reported like huge increase in evidence of teeth grinding in the first Trump administration?
Yeah, it's the same as COVID. A lot of people started it in COVID.
Right.
I started it during my writing the book and it went away for ages, but it's back now, so I'm going to have to go buy a mouth guard. Anyway, that's us for this week. Thank you.
Bye.